Welcome to Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide to growth for managed service providers. In this series, MSP entrepreneur James Vickery and author of Infinite Scale shares what he has learned about taking control of your business so you can break free from the tools, win more customers, and be more profitable. Welcome everyone. In today's episode, James talks with Zach Johnson of Aero CMS on how to win monster deals, even if you're a smaller MSP. Over to you, James.
Welcome everybody, and really excited today for another episode of Infinite Scale. And I am here today with Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson runs a MSP, or an MSSP, I think is a more accurate description of Zach's business. And super excited to have you on the show, Zach. Welcome.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
And so, Zach, we've known each other for, it's been a while now, at least 18 months that we've been talking to one another. And, you know, one of the things that's really stood out in our partnership is that you seem to have this ability to target really exciting opportunities. And for the most part, from what I can see, you know, much bigger opportunities than a lot of MSPs that we've spoken to, certainly over the last few years. Why don't we just start with you telling us all about the kind of opportunities you focus on and why?
Well, we have a particular philosophy that we've kind of developed, and that is the concept of fully outsourced IT. We built a service offering that is all-inclusive. So when the client pays our monthly bill and their annual cost to us, like, literally is their IT budget. Like, it's, we take the entire budget and just operate as if we are their IT department. Size isn't really a factor. I mean, my smallest client is 5 seats and my largest is 7,000. There's different facets we provide to those various clients, but the smaller ones, I mean, on paper are actually the most profitable because we push that philosophy. It's just that, and the philosophy of we are a fully staffed, fully mature IT department for you. My most profitable client is a 6-employee law firm that's paying us $469 a seat.
I mean, they're staggering numbers. I mean, sometimes when, you know, I'm looking around on Reddit, checking out some of the MSP forums, you see that MSPs are, you know, down at $30 a seat or $50 a seat, quite a long ways from where you're at today. That's incredible. So how do you get a customer to start thinking like that? You know, to start thinking about the total cost. I suppose what you're referring to is the total cost of ownership, total cost of delivery to their business over the next X number of years. How do you broach that conversation?
Well, early on, actually, our sales cycle does the qualification very early, like within the first 15 minutes of the conversation. I basically explained we do fully outsourced IT, the hardware, the network, everything. We provide everything, and everything is included, including projects. There is literally nothing we won't be open to discussing doing as part of your contract. And because of that, we are very expensive. If expensive scares you away, then it was a pleasure meeting you. If you change your mind, here's my card. Like, if they don't immediately see the potential value in that, then I probably don't want to do business with them.
That requires like a substantial amount of trust. I mean, I think that a lot of MSPs are kind of struggling to open up the conversation even about a fairly low per user rate. How do you kind of get that, I guess, that brand and credibility, if you will, that you could actually have that conversation with a straight face, you know, because I think a lot of MSPs really struggle to do that. How are these prospects attracted to you, assuming that you're attracting ones that do qualify? Because in the time that I've known you, I've heard you land tons of these deals. I mean, it's incredible. So how do you develop that level of trust in the marketplace that you're actually able to have those conversations?
Oh, that's an easy enough answer. Aggressive brand awareness. How we basically do that is We connect with every possible business association, chamber of commerce, like anything where business owners and business stakeholders gather in a meaningful way. And we participate in that, usually me, and then get with the leadership of whatever organization that is and ask, like, can we host a learning event? And we get with them, and they almost always say yes, because, you know, they like outreach things. And so we do, like, almost pure outreach, right? It's never a sales pitch. We never come off as sales pitchy, that we're not shilling for our own company. It's like we show up and we spend, you know, I spend like 30 minutes explaining this is Office 365 and this is how it's going been transforming businesses and this is why. You know, 30 minutes right there.
It sounds like having a deep product knowledge is a big help in these situations. So how these applications like Office 365 actually can transform their business, it's not just an email tool or a document management tool, is actually goes a lot deeper than that. So it sounds like you're feeling a lot more comfortable to have those kinds of conversations, and that's the attraction.
The overarching theme is always, this is how technology transforms business.
Gotcha.
Like we don't talk about the technology and how cool it is and how whiz bang it is and with all the widgets and the gizmods and the whatnots. It's like, this is technology and this is the impact technology has on a business. And that was a difficult lesson to learn, but that's what resonates with the clients, because the clients and potential clients, they don't care how the sausage is made, right? They just want to know why my sausage is so much better than everybody else's sausage.
Gotcha.
And so I talk about the sausage and how the sausage is good for them. if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. All right. So you seem really confident, you know, in the way that you're, you know, kind of talking about this now, and obviously the way that you're talking to clients. What did you need to do to kind of tool up and skill up to be able to take on opportunities, or to be able to just to have these conversations with clients? What were you doing in the tool shed? Like, what were you doing to skill up appropriately to kind of be out there and having these conversations and doing $400 plus a user deals? And like, by the way, everyone that's kind of listening out there, I've known Zach for quite a long time now, and it staggers me every single day. We deal with a very broad range of MSPs. We see a whole bunch of opportunities out there. We see a lot of small business opportunities. Every time I talk to Zach, he's talking about something like this and actually landing it. And then the Benchmark 365 team is delivering it. And it blows my mind. So Zach, what did you need to do, like, leading up to this point? How did you get to this point?
Well, the answer there is I was always very technical. I was an engineer. I knew the ins and outs of how the technology worked and what it could and couldn't do. But what I had to learn was, what does that mean to a business? So I actually had to learn the business side of things, right? I had to understand what the business was trying to achieve. You know, obviously the core principle of any business is to make money, but how do they do that? What activities does the staff of that business perform that leads to revenue? And then look at how they do it and ask myself, okay, what technology can further that goal? Either make them do it faster or do more of it overall. And so, like, that's the fundamental goal. They call that business transformation now, like that you should focus on not just having technology because it's a necessity, but leveraging technology to actually increase your business in some capacity, whether that be increase efficiency, whether that increase footprint, whether that be to scale. And it's learning to recognize what those struggles might be and how you might be able to help them overcome those struggles.
Got it. See, you know, it's something we talked earlier in the podcast about is, you know, I've developed an obsession with our customers in the MSP space. And I've since, and I think you know this, since translated that into an obsession with our Benchmark 365 partners. So kind of like really thinking about the problems that they're having, like really getting close to the problems that they're having and then coming up with a solution for that. And it sounds like you've even done that twofold. So you've developed like an obsession with the technologies that are available, and then you've started to drill down into a customer and look at their business kind of like the whole thing and be very proactive about, I'm not just selling a solution for today, I'm selling a total solution that will take this company to the next level over the next sort of 3 to 5 years. Is that accurate? You know, is that kind of like your way?
I would say so. And like, I think an important thing to point out was you talk about how you have witnessed a broad segment of MSPs, and you've probably noticed that the problems these MSPs have is pretty finite, right? Like there's probably a pretty common set of typical type of struggles these MSPs deal with. Well, I've learned that every business has the same prototypical set of struggles that they typically deal with. And it's usually can be categorized by like industry vertical, right? You know, accountancy firms have the same sort of struggles across all accountancy firms. And what particular one they're dealing with at that moment is usually tied to where they are on sort of that business maturity curve. Same could be said for like service-based industries like, you know, in industrial controls, manufacturing, you know, HVAC. They all do the same thing and all struggle with the same thing. And so like once you see a broad enough sample of various types of businesses at various points in their maturity, like you start to recognize the typical struggles. And once you can kind of create that baseline of the typical struggle, then you can start crafting typical solutions and then applying those solutions and getting actionable results out of it.
Gotcha. Look, a lot of MSPs that are listening today, and I can really relate to this, having been a smaller provider, you know, when I first started out, I needed to get deals closed quickly because I needed cash flow. So I found that I wasn't looking at like the bigger picture for my customer. I just needed to sell a solution right now so I could get some cash in the door and kind of put food on the table. That was my whole sales methodology for many, many years in my MSP. And the reason that, you know, my focus stayed that way, and probably why a lot of MSPs' focus stays that way, is it takes a really long time to close big deals. Like it tends to take a long time. What advice do you have for an MSP that kind of wants to transition from, you know, quick wins and quick cash flow to the sort of, you know, deals that you're talking about now, which might take a little bit longer and might mean a bit of a famine potentially, you know, between now and when they land that big monster deal like the ones you're talking about?
Oh, that's such a hard question to answer, because like you have to be at a certain maturity level with a certain like sort of average MRR to be stable, and getting from basically constant famine to that point where you're stable enough to start chasing a longer sales pipeline is really hard to say how to do that.
Is it a mindset change overall?
It can be. It just kind of depends on where you're at in sort of your journey to maturity. Early on, like we, just like you, would take anything that was thrown at us, right? Like any scrap tossed on the ground, we'd pick up and run with it. And like we did everything we could to just bring money in. And at a certain sort of early stage of the evolution of your business, that's pretty necessary, right? You got to take what you can get. But you need to be very conscious of your financials and how doing that impacts your long-term position. Scavenging for scraps could could be necessary just to have the cash flow, but you need to understand that you cannot do that forever. So have a plan, have a goal, like understand what things cost and where you need to be to move to the next step. Whether that be, you know, when do I start turning the scraps away? You know, I can't give you a specific number because it's going to vary so much business to business, right? But like at some point, you should have that plan. It's just like, okay, I'm in my early stages. I need to take whatever scraps I can get, turn nothing away, quick cash flow, turn it around as quickly as possible, start building up, you know, hopefully a nest egg, right? Don't draw too much out of the business. That's something we focused on very early on. Was my salary was very, very minimal in the early days, and everything, every scrap of everything was set aside so that we could invest in our own futures.
Certainly, if you're in an early stage as a company, or even a little bit later down the road, it's just you got to do what you got to do, right? You got to get these even small opportunities done, because I think the saying is little fish are sweet. But in the long run, you got to start to plan out like how to build value both in your customers and in your own company. And it sounds like you've done a really great job of that. My next question is, you know, you've worked with Benchmark for the last 12 months. My question is, you know, in today's MSP environment, do you need to be a big company in order to handle bigger deals?
I don't think so. How do you define a big company? Right? Like, what does it mean for you to be a big company, to have 30 employees? Well, I have 30 people at Benchmark that are on my team. Does that not count?
Yeah.
You know, like it's all about how you frame it in your own mind.
Yeah.
I've always used the mindset that Benchmark isn't a vendor. Benchmark is my team. I think of them that way. I treat them that way. And I leverage them that way. And that's always been like my philosophy on it. It's a frame of mind. If you don't see yourself as a small company, then you shouldn't be afraid of complex deals.
It's amazing when we see that switch flick in the mind of our partners. So obviously when someone signs up with Benchmark, there's that trepidatious period where it's like, don't really know what you're getting. You don't really know if it's going to work. There's this kind of like, you know, fear around the whole process. And then somewhere down the line, usually in that kind of first few months, there's this realization that, wow, I've got infinite capacity to go out and sell. You know, I used to have to worry about whether we could deliver. I used to worry about whether, you know, if I go and sell a really large deal, do I have the resources? Do I have the technical capability to actually meet that customer's needs and actually have, you know, underpin the sale that I've made? And, you know, when we see that switch flick, like it kind of did with you immediately, but when we see it with most partners and they switch around, it's incredible. Like the growth is just incredible thereafter. And I think that, you know, certainly you've been a great example of that, Zach.
It's a mindset. Like once you change your mindset, you see the world differently. You see the deals differently.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. And so what's the next 12 months look like for you? You know, we're kind of a year down the road. You've obviously had some astonishing results in your company over the last 12 months. What's your plan to scale? Where do you take it from here?
Well, we plan on aggressively pursuing security opportunities as we're finding those to be extremely profitable and that there's extremely high demand. Like my sales pipeline has 6 deals in it right now that are in excess of 1,000 seats. And we're aggressively pursuing those. And I hope to close at least 2 of them over the next quarter, like Q1. And there's a real chance that we're going to double the MRR this coming year over the previous year.
Incredible. There's some big numbers. So I think that's some really great content for today's podcast. And anyone listening, love to hear your examples of how you've kind of leveraged and scaled up your business and how you've targeted bigger customers. What are your three big takeaways today, Zach, for anyone that's looking to kind of transition away from small business IT and take on bigger business? What are your three key takeaways?
Well, I think an important one would be don't be afraid of large deals. The second takeaway is just because it's a large deal doesn't mean you need to discount it. Economy of scale does not necessarily apply to IT services. Just because it's larger doesn't mean it's cheaper to do. It's actually more complex. And larger companies understand this. Larger companies have a much different mindset than small companies. They understand that quality costs big money, and they have the money to spend. Outsourcing is what gives you capability, the scale to get to that size. I could probably comment on what is a reasonable expectation for service delivery. And larger clients have a different perspective on that. For smaller clients, you get obsessed about whether Karen at the front desk was happy with what you did. For a 500-seat company, the key stakeholder that's paying for your services does not care what Karen in HR thinks about her interaction with the help desk. What they care about was the service delivered in a reasonable fashion?
It's almost like you're finding that like smaller companies can be a little bit commercially unrealistic. They require that really white glove, you know, service, even when it's not economically viable to deliver that sometimes. Larger companies are more commercially realistic and practical about the outcome.
They see it as a whole. They don't see it as Karen wasn't happy. When you take that mindset and invert it and realize that these smaller companies like want concierge level white glove service, deliver it for them, but charge accordingly.
Mm.
That's why my smaller clients are on paper more profitable than my large clients.
Zach, I can't thank you enough for joining the show today. Some really great insights about targeting and winning larger customers. I think anyone that's sort of out there listening that really wants to grow their business, you have provided some insights that will be really valuable to them. So thank you again, and looking forward to our ongoing partnership together, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. That's a end to another episode of Infinite Scale. Looking forward to you tuning in next time.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.